DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Pitch to Cam Smith, hit high in the air, deep left field. This ball is going to leave the yard.
Second three-run homer of the ball game for Houston. And this is an absolute no-doubt home run from Smith.
I thought we had a good game plan going into it. Just never really caught my footing. Let up too many walks, hit a guy 0-2. Just a recipe for disaster. Got my ass kicked today.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score.
Hey, Kate Horton threw a strike. I got my ass kicked today. There you go. Right on it. So the original call, Pat Hughes depressed, Ron Coomer describing, okay, all kinds of three-run homers happening here on these very airwaves. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, your home for the Cubs, 540 broadcast today, Zach's pregame show. And first pitch in Houston, 35 minutes later, so that'll be 6:15. And that will be heard, the only local outlet to have it will be Your Score. Right here, Cam Smith homered. He used to be a Cub. Kyle Tucker went 0-for-4. He is a Cub. He used to be an Astro. Cade Horton sucked. He's still a Cub. He's still in a rotation that desperately needs more better people in the rotation. And so goes the care and feeding of Jed Hoyer's big trade and the big prospect he kept and the one he got rid of. And okay, all right. So if you trade Cam Smith for Tucker and you don't sign Tucker and you don't get a couple starting pitchers for this year, then what are we even doing here? Look, you know you need them. And I know it's tougher on Judd still because it's so much harder to make a trade. It's so much harder not to get fleeced when everyone knows you need to make a trade. That's so difficult. But you wonder now, Jed's constipated trade talk, did trading Cam Smith make Hoyer gun-shy about dealing Horton or any of the other prospects he has, the highly rated prospects? Did it make him, well, I don't know, second thought, thinking. Friday, by the way, this all happened Friday, the bad Cubs game, the Cam Smith game, the Cade Horton non-game, and all that. Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. I still love that. That's just great. Anyways, Friday was the 9-year anniversary of the game in which Chris Bryant hit for a full house. Do you remember that? Sean, you're a Cub fan. You remember that?
I do remember that, actually.
Three homers and two doubles against the Reds in Cincinnati. Back in 2016. God, it's 9 years ago.
Yeah, I know. He kicked the crap out of the Reds that year.
He certainly did. Many Cubs do kick the crap out of the Reds. Ian Happ, for instance, he loves seeing them Reds. So that's when the Cubs, 2016 was when the Cubs became the Bears, right? One-time winners when they should have won three?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? That's you said it earlier in the show, and I hadn't thought about it like that, but that's what that team is now, right? They're the one and done that could have done more but didn't.
Right, yeah. Should have won three. So if I recall, I as the season was winding, regular season winding down, Chris Bryant was going to be MVP. I was walking around with an iPad, and I was, for the Tribune, I was asking players, broadcasters, give me your Chris Bryant, what's the photo or the moment that flashes in your mind about this guy? Because he was going to be MVP, certainly in the conversation, right? And Jim DeShays cited that game. Jim DeShays went back to that, and It wasn't because he hit for a full house, three homers, two doubles. It was because he refused to take a curtain call on the road. He was in Cincinnati. He had respect for the opponent, respect for the game. And look, we know how well the Cubs travel. They certainly traveled well that year, right? And he traveled to Cincinnati, and that was a popular destination, Cub fans going. He refused to take a bow. Chris Bryant wouldn't come out of the dugout to take a bow, no matter how much teammates were urging him to do so. Cub fans desperately wanted him to do it, but it was he didn't want to show up. Deshays was saying he didn't want to show up the Reds, the home team, didn't want to show up the opponent, and just thought it was such a sign of maturity and discretion. And he's right. Jim Deshays was right. My God, three homers, two doubles, 16 total bases. Yeah, you might think about taking a bow, but Chris Bryant didn't. So that was a night. That was back before Chris Bryant chose to quit baseball by going to Colorado, right? Way back, all right? That was also back when third base was an answer for the Cubs, not a question, like it is now. Now, I will say the Cubs are better now at third than they were at the beginning of the year. Matt Shaw has two homers, two, count them who, right? And has an F4, Fangraphs WAR, 0.3. That's positive, unlike Patrick Williams, minus 0.7 from
Mr.
last year.
Mr. Blutowski, yeah. 0.0.
And newest bull, if you heard the trade today, we talked about it earlier, Lonzo Ball went to Cleveland for Isaac Okoro, and his career value over replacement player is 0.0, Mr. Blutarski. Anyways, let's keep going with the... We talked about Matt Shaw. We'll keep going with the protagonists and antagonists in this Jed Hoyer trade drama. Kyle Tucker. He has an F4 of 3.5 with 16 homers. Cam Smith, you heard one, has an F4 of 1.6 with 6 homers. By the way, his last 10 games, that Cam Smith, that former Cub, the guy traded for Kyle Tucker, slash line of 408, 488, 703, an OPS of 1.191. 3 homers and 8 RBI in the last 10 games after that H-bomb he delivered against the Cubs last night. Right? Isak Paredes, former Cub, went in the same deal for Kyle Tucker. He has an F4 of 2.5 with 16 homers. Tucker and Shaw, the superstar the Cubs traded for but haven't signed beyond this year, and the third base prospect they kept, they have a combined F4 of 3.8 with 18 homers. Cam Smith and Isak Paredes, the prospect the Cubs traded and the third baseman they dumped so they could play Shaw, have a combined 4.1 F4 with 22 homers. So that's better. The Cubs could have played Cam Smith and Isak Paredes, and combined they would have been better. They're not better individually than Kyle Tucker. And somebody will make an argument that, well, he lengthens a lineup. He just makes everybody better. Kyle Tucker's a lot of great things that he's not done yet. He's also not signed yet. But Isak Paredes and Cam Smith. See, maybe you can't combine the numbers like I just combined them, but I just combined them, and the Cubs don't win that comparison. But you do the math, Jed. You tell me. You show me. Tucker still isn't signed for next year. Next year and beyond, actually. That's what you want to do, right? Cam Smith will be an Astro next year. Will Jed Hoyer still be a Cub next year? You're a Cub fan, Sean. What do you think? Will Jed Hoyer be a Cub next year? We're halfway through the season.
I think he's going to be back. I think this team should probably win the division. I think he'll be back. We'll see. I wouldn't be surprised that he's already got a contract, right?
Well, this is the Cubs, not the Bulls.
That's true. The Cubs do announce these things. That's correct.
Make secret extensions because they're embarrassed that they keep paying Karnishevis and Eversley and Donovan and things like that. Hi. Yes, we're the Bulls. So the Cubs, I assume they would announce it.
I don't think so.
It would certainly be a moment that they would be. Maybe they don't care if they were to get torched for being so secretive. They extended Jed. It was just found out that way and not announced. And so I don't know. I don't know what it depends on.
That's a good point. Right?
I assume the postseason. If you're going to get to the postseason and you look at that starting rotation now, the bottom of the order certainly isn't doing what they did. They were pulling off miracles early in the year. Right? When Reese McGuire shows up and immediately hits two home runs. Like, it was magic. Like, there was pixie dust at the bottom of the lineup, and everybody comes and does that, whatever they were. Pete Crow Armstrong goes from the bottom of the order to cleanup and lead off when Ian Happ is out, right? The lineup is still, you're not the bottom of the order. You knew there was going to be some slowdown. But when you look at what the starting pitching, how it sucked, how unreliable it is, and you look at that bullpen getting, they've been aces. They've been so good. But you know they're going to fall apart, and they may do it all at once. There may be zero circle of trust for Craig Counsell. That circle of trust may be just a big zero. Who is he going to rely on? He keeps pulling them. If we got a chance to win this game, we're going to try to win this game. Right? The only reason, was it Ben Brown? I lost track of all this crap. Was he the one who went five innings, but only five innings, and went that far because
he had the opener before him? Yep.
And they weren't going to ruin the.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to ruin the bullpen. Said, all right, you're going to have to wear this thing. And
yeah.
Often in a game in a season, you'll see managers basically leave a pitcher in there who doesn't deserve to be left in there, and it will be to wear it because the bullpen can't. You're not going to bring in a bullpen and try to save this game. Although early in the year, when the Cubs were coming back from all ridiculous
right.
deficits. But that's not happening now. They did it earlier in the year when the bottom of the lineup was so talented.
I mean, like, I think Carson Kelly had a higher OPS than Aaron Judge for like the
first
month of the season.
See, there you go, Carson
Kelly.
Yeah. So, Jed, you need a starting pitcher. And if you got to overpay, you got to overpay because you need a starting pitcher. The starting pitcher doesn't just get you to the playoffs and save your job. It may be the difference in keeping Kyle Tucker. You get far enough, and he goes, I love it here. I love Chicago in October. So we got to take a break soon. At the bottom of the hour, I'll bring you Mark Eversley, a terrific interview Mullane Haw did with him, talking about the Bulls after the first night of the draft. But I don't want to miss out on any fill in the blanks. Can we fill in some more blanks, Sean Sears? Can we fill in the blanks? From last segment, from the WB Club, one time I got so high that I... Do you have something to save us
one
with?
One time I got so high, I put my driver's license into the bank's ATM drive-thru. Then I had to go inside and explain what had happened to the bank lady, who definitely could tell I was high and couldn't stop laughing at me.
I can't stop. I love the idea. Wouldn't she have known you were high because you stuck your driver's license in the ATM slot?
That might be a giveaway, huh? How about this one? One time I got so high, I was talking to a police officer. He asked me what color my eyes were, and I said red.
That's true. May not say that on a driver's license, but that's true. I guarantee you that was true. And there was one guy who got home, parked the car, said it looked like rain, so he rolled up the windows, but he left the door open. I know, 847 texture. Tell me again while driving while high is funny. It's not. The stories around it are, though. All right, we take a break. We come back. There's a bit of cultural zeitgeist I want to share, and maybe some more of these fill in the blanks. One time I got so high that I'll go all Gene Rayburn on you. Come on, parents, tell your kids. But there's a part of the cultural zeitgeist, one story, maybe the best thing I saw this week, and I think you'll agree with me. And then we'll bring in Mark Eversley, the Bulls' titular general manager, talking with Mullane Haw and trying to make sense of this and really coming off badly for those of you with any kind of critical thinking. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it, do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
That's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Owns. Owns.
Owns. Owns.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Cultural zeitgeist here on Saturday Suckage. Thank you for joining me. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Bottom of the hour, we'll bring you replay of Mark Eversley, the Bulls' titular general manager, talking with Mullion Haugh. This was the day after the first round. Talk about the Bears, what the Bulls did with their first-round pick, and other parts of the roster and lineup and plans and all that. And this was done before today's trade. Obviously, it was done before the trade of Lonzo Ball to Cleveland. That was the news today, in exchange for Isaac Okoro. He's more of a wing. Ball loosens up some traffic in the Bulls guards room, and Okoro was sort of like Josh Giddey. The more he played, or I'm sorry, the better the team got, the less he played. And that's the way it was with the Cavs. Well, we're trying to win here, so you take a seat, okay? So Mark Eversley will bring you insight. Oh, my God. He'll bring you what sounds to be like gift wrap box of crap, because not a lot of it was believable or was easy to follow. In the meantime, that's not why you called. Why you called was the cultural zeitgeist. I love Sam Bennett. You should love Sam Bennett, too. He was the Conn Smythe winner from the Panthers. They won the Stanley Cup. They beat the Oilers again. Bennett led the NHL 15 playoff goals, 5 in the Stanley Cup final, as the Panthers repeated. Bennett became the 4th active player to score at least 15 goals in a single postseason. Last year, Zach Hyman did it for the Oilers as they lost to Florida. 2018, Alex Ovechkin scored 15, and in 2009, Sidney Crosby, the Penguins captain, scored 15. Bennett set an NHL record for most road goals in one postseason. 13. That's a lot of grit. That's a lot of heart. I love that. And here's why you have to love Sam Bennett. I'm ordering to you to do that. Have you seen the Conn Smythe Award? It's that squarish, like half a pyramid, not quite finished. It looks really heavy. This wooden thing, right?
I remember when Duncan Keith won it. Yep.
Yeah. And all the Hawks won it. Kane, Taves, whatever they were.
Right. Okay? They're carrying it around.
Or hosts, I meant. So he took the Conn Smythe Award. This load, and he took it to the Broward County Humane Society. There was film, social video, there's videos, social media, cameras, everything, to promote adoptions, to promote pet adoptions. He hung out with kittens named Marchie, Blizzard, and DQ. We talked about this story, Brad Marchand, who is like, hockey players used to go out and get roaring drunk. Brad Marchand goes to DQ. His teammate goes to DQ for a blizzard. So he hung out with these kittens. One of them was crawling on the Conn Smythe trophy. They think, hey, okay, this isn't so bad. And he, Sam Bennett, went to promote adoptions there. He's partnered with them all year. He offered to pick up adoption fees for every goal he scored. He scored 25 in the regular season. He scored 15 in the postseason. he's on the hook for 40 adoption fees in the Broward County Humane Society. I love him. I mean, this is, you never see this with the Conn Smythe trophy, right? Stanley Cup, yeah. We got stories, it goes to strip joints, babies poop in it, people eat stuff out of it. That's, but the Conn Smythe trophy, it's great. All right, so before we leave, take a break and then come back to present you Mark Eversley. We have a couple more entrants to our Finish the Sentence, our match game, right? One time I got so high that I
thought I was getting pulled over by the police on Lakeshore Drive at night, waited for about 5 minutes and realized it was my old school Bluetooth in my ear reflecting off the window.
Who among us hasn't had that experience?
All right, and then we've got another one here from a 219 number. How about rolling up for about to spark? You can't find it for 30 minutes. You call your friend over to help you, and he opens up the door and pulls it out of your ear.
How were you able to roll it if you're so bad you didn't know where it was? If you're so stoned, and how were you able to roll it? I can understand misplacing it. All right. Thank you all for participating. I'm very grateful for that. So the last couple of times you've been on the air, we had a guest during the Wake and Bake show, and this time we had audience participation.
That's been awesome, right?
Yeah. We had fill in the blank. One time I got so high that you people came through. I appreciate
that. You guys delivered.
Thank you,
yeah.
Wake and Bake Club members. And again, any of you, you're going to sign up or qualify by Monday for the speed joint rolling competition. You let us know, and we'll get back to that. Take a break. We come back, and we will hear from Mark Eversley, a Bulls titular GM, who is on the Mully and Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Well, thank you everybody who listened and participated today, especially in the Wake and Bake Club. Finish the sentence. One time I got so high that I... And mine would be, one time I got so high that I believed Mark Eversley and AK had a plan. Mark Eversley, Bulls titular GM, joined Mully and Haw. The interview came after the first round of the draft. This was Thursday morning. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
With the 12th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Noah Essengay from Saint-Jean-du-Bray, France, and the Ulm Club in Germany.
I think I'm someone who just, you know, bring everything on the court, energy, defensively, offensively. I'm going to get everything I got for the team.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. There's the pick last night, and you heard from the kid there right after, and we are delighted to welcome in Mark Eversley. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Doing well. Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Great to catch up with you. And really fun stuff. We've been having a lot of fun. Do you buy this connection, this idea that the draft, for the second year running, let's put it that way, you kind of got a player who fell to you that you didn't anticipate might be there? Is this similar to what happened last year with Matas?
I mean, there's a couple similarities. Definitely, we had Matas higher on our board last year. Our board this year, we had Noah a little bit lower than what Matas was last year. But, you know, it was a nice surprise when he was sitting there when we were ready to select the 12. And we had a couple options, and we decided to go with Noah. And, you know, we're thrilled and pleased with the pick.
How are you evaluating what is the ideal timetable for his development? It's clear, or at least it seems from the outside, that the Bulls are taking the long view here, playing the long game, whether it's in drafting Mattis last year and now somebody who it feels very similar to a year ago. The morning after the draft, we're saying similar things about Mattis Bezelis, and he had a heck of a rookie year. When you look at Noah Essengay, is he somebody that projects immediately into the rotation, or what is the development plan in your mind?
You know, I'm not a coach. Our job is to select players and hand them over to the coaches. I think for us, you know, we're going to work in collaboration with our coaches and put together, you know, a player development plan for him both on and off the court. You know, I don't think it's fair for me to put any kind of timelines on or expectations on the kid this quickly. I think when you look at what Mattis did last year, I think if you go back and look at the first, you know, 41 games, Mattis was, he kind of got time here and there, a little bit of sprinkle time here and there. And, you know, it wasn't until after the All-Star break to where he really, you know, found his groove and found, you know, he was able to adapt to the speed of the game, the quickness of the game, the physicality of the game. You know, our hope is that Noah has a similar path, but if he doesn't, you know, that's going to be okay. I think he's the person who will determine when and if he earns minutes, and it's really on him. We're going to create an environment here in this building to where, you know, he'll be able to come in here every single day, work on his body, work on his game, and, you know, he'll determine, you know, if and when he plays and how much he plays.
I'm curious, Mark, when you were scouting this kid, when you were going over everything, how would you compare the basketball Bundesliga to the various other maybe college conferences? Is it a higher level than that? Is it a lower level than the G League? Like, where I'm just trying to determine where that league fits in sort of the understanding of international leagues.
You know, I think a fair comparison is something similar to the G League, and I use that comparison because it's mostly men. You know, they're no longer college kids.
Right.
You know, and that's what really attracted us to Noah was here's an 18-year-old playing against men every single night, practicing against men every single night, and he had a ton of success, and that was extremely attractive to us. No different than when, you know, you look back a year, you know, Mattis spending – you know, his time with G League Ignite. He was playing against men every single night. So there's similarities. Obviously, you know, I don't know exactly. You can't compare them exactly, but there's a lot of similarities in that, you know, they're both playing against men every single night.
Mark, you look around the Eastern Conference. Obviously, you look at what happened with Jason Tatum in Boston and what that did to the Celtics next year. The Pacers are dealing with Tyrese Halliburton with Achilles missing next season, and they are going to be a different team. Milwaukee with Dame Lillard, same kind of situation. The Eastern Conference would seem to be up for grabs. Did that play a role, or what role did that play in your thought process and decision-making and who to draft rather than somebody who might be a season or two away from contributing versus somebody who might be ready to contribute right away? Did that come up much at all?
I think the approach we're going to take is, you know, similar to how you, you know, introduced it, was we're going to take a little longer approach. I think we're going to be a little more pragmatic in terms of our decision-making. You know, the East is what it is. And, you know, you look at a team like Detroit who, you know, the year prior, you know, they made a big jump last year. Indiana made a huge jump this year and making it to the finals. We observe all those things, but we don't let it dictate how we're going to operate. We've got a plan in place. We want to stick to that plan. We don't want to skip steps. And, you know, it's not to say we won't be opportunistic. If there's something that makes a lot of sense that we can jump at and we feel, you know, it's a good move for the ball club, then we'll do it. But we're going to stick to our plan. We're going to be pragmatic. We're going to be really thoughtful on how we operate. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on the league and monitor things as they go.
I heard someone told us that he's played in the German professional league now for 2 years, which would indicate he started playing professionally as a 16-year-old. Has he been playing against grown men, as we talk about, since he was 16? And I know the kid's very tall, but that's still, like, extraordinary if that's the case.
And it's part of the attraction as to why we selected him last night. The first time I saw him play live for Ulm was last October. He was 17 years old.
Wow.
And Ulm played a preseason game against the Portland Trailblazers. Interesting story, and I'll try and be brief, but they flew from Istanbul two nights before. Their plane got diverted to Seattle. They jumped on a bus and drove 3 hours from Seattle to Portland, got to the hotel, quickly changed, drove over to the Moda Center. We got to watch them practice for 2 hours. They went full out, went back to the hotel, slept, and played the next night, got on a plane that night, and flew back home to Germany. And for me, to watch those kids, especially Noah, in that environment for 48 hours, and the resiliency, toughness, just, it was super, super impressive.
Talking with Bull General Manager Mark Eversley here on the Mullion Haas Show on 670 The Score. So that brings up another aspect of this that is somewhat fascinating. He doesn't have much experience in American culture or in America at all. And that had to be something in terms of your conversation and looking into his background, how he might adapt and adjust. What did you find in looking into those things that made you feel comfortable that a teenager, the second youngest player in the draft, would be able to assimilate as quickly as you hope he will?
It's full credit to our scouting staff, you know, both in Europe and here in Chicago, is we made multiple phone calls. We talked to multiple people, coaches, trainers, anybody who was associated with the kid. And it got us to a place where we were comfortable selecting him. We had an opportunity to interview him via Zoom. You know, we got to see him practice in an environment, in his own environment. All of those data points gave us the confidence to know that if we put a plan in place for him and support him, that he'll get everything he needs to help him assimilate, one, as, you know, somebody off the court, and two, put together a player development plan here in this building, that he will flourish in time.
How many languages does this kid speak? It was incredible to hear how good his English was. And obviously he speaks French. I don't know if he speaks German, having lived in Germany for a couple of years. And, you know, there are certainly examples of European athletes, European citizens that speak multiple languages. I'm just curious, because it indicates he's pretty bright, listening to him speak English.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I would suspect that he knows a little bit of German. You know, our executive vice president, Arturis, is he's multilingual, yeah. You know, of course, playing over there. So, you know, it just speaks to the kid, right? And his English is pretty good. His French, obviously, that's his native tongue. And, you know, I would think that he knows a little bit of German, but I don't know that for sure.
Logistically, what happens now? Will he go back and finish? I believe his German team is in the league finals. Will he be part of that? When will he report to Chicago to play as part of the summer league team? And do you worry about his transition as he kind of is it between two continents?
So fortunately, he's in New York. We have somebody from the team on the ground who will meet with him today. Plan is for him to travel to Chicago this weekend, and the plan is for him not to go back to Germany. He'll be with us through summer league. We'll get him in front of our trainers and in front of our coaches here this weekend and do a full assessment, and, you know, we'll make a determination if we feel he's going to be ready to play in summer league. Hopefully he will be. Post summer league, you know, he'll probably go back home to Germany, and then we'll look to bring him back over here, you know, sometime in August.
Mark, we have heard, at least heading into the draft, all of these rumors about multi-trades and how the whole thing was kind of up for grabs. There were some trades, but it was nothing to the extent that we imagined. I know you guys had the opportunity, if you chose to go up or to go down or to do whatever you wanted. Was there a lot of trade talk? Were you involved in a lot of these things? You have a lot of guys under contract. I'm just wondering if, with free agency coming up next, if you believe there will be trades or not trades.
With respect to the draft, we looked at several scenarios. Like you mentioned, moving up, moving back, you know, and nothing materialized. Of course, we picked that 12, and we were quite happy. You know, leading into the draft, we've had a lot of conversations with a lot of teams about a lot of different iterations. Nothing has popped to date. I'm sure we will continue those conversations, you know, as early as today with the second round being tonight. And then as we head towards free agency, we'll kind of level set and see where we're at and make a determination on whether we're going to sign somebody or not come July 1.
I know last night you made it a priority to publicly express the confidence the organization has in Billy Donovan. And obviously you don't discuss contract details, but the commitment is pretty apparent because of what he means to this organization, how he evaluates talent and develops players. What role did Billy play in assessing your potential draft picks, and what role did he play in the final choice that you made?
The great thing about Billy is he's here every single day. He's usually the first person in the building. As we kind of prepared for the draft leading up to the draft, he's been part of our meetings on a daily basis. He was in the room last night along with Jerry and Michael. This is a collaborative effort, and, you know, I think Billy trusts in us that, you know, we made the right selection and we're going to bring players in here who can help us win games. He's been an incredible leader for us. He kind of sets the tone here in this building every single day. He's been a pleasure to work with.
You know, I understand that the Knicks reportedly contacted you guys about him. I'm just wondering how that worked. Who did they call? How quick was the conversation? Was that ever anything you entertained? And obviously, we personally think very highly of Billy. Think he did a great job. I think your comment earlier about Matas and the way that he kind of helped develop him last year is an important thing to remember when you're drafting a guy like Noah this year. What can you tell us about that whole turn of events?
So the Knicks did call and request permission. We denied them permission, and it just speaks to, you know, the leader that Billy is and how much confidence we have in him. You know, he's the head coach of this team, and we love having him in the building. I wasn't part of that process, so I can't really speak much on it.
So last night, Mark, you talked about the Bulls being a team in transition, and whether it's that phrase or Arturis Karnišovas was talking about shrinking the timeline, I think it reflects, you know, the plan, and it may be a plan that requires more patience from the fan base than maybe it's not as hard for you to be that patient as it is for some fans who are growing, you know, restless a little bit with the way things have gone in recent years. What can you say to those people who are looking at this and seeing another player drafted who will take maybe a season or two to develop? And he joins a group that has some developmental, you know, yeah, it's going to require the patience that you talked about, and how long before you start to see some results?
You know, I would look at how we end the season this past year, 15-5 down the stretch. Obviously, you know, a bitter loss in the play-in game. But the players who played in that game, Giddey, White, Herder, Modest, Vooch, you know, those guys all logged big minutes. They're all coming back. They're all going to be with us. That's the plan. You know, now we layer in guys like Patrick Williams, Jalen Smith, you know, Ayo Dosunmu's coming back from injury. Zach Collins was a nice addition at the trade deadline. The beauty is we don't have to rely on Noah the same way. We don't have to rely on these young guys in the immediate future. They're going to be given a pathway to develop and contribute when they earn those minutes. So for the fans, I say, you know, the way we ended the season last year, playing a bunch of young guys, you know, developing a style of play that's exciting, you know, that's what I point to. Yes, there's going to be, you know, there's likely to be, you know, tough games and tough nights, but there's also going to be fun nights, you know, similar to, you know, Giddey's half-court heave against the Lakers. Those are the things I want fans to point to and just know that every single day these guys are in here, you know, working their tails off, trying to get better and grow as a team.
Mark, I'm curious about tonight. You were pretty forthright in talking about having the 45th pick, the second round pick. We know all the contracts that the team has. Just curious if you're going to do one of those kind of draft and stash routines. I just love that concept. I love saying that. It just sounds so like international intrigue. But have you made a decision? Will it come down to how things fall?
I think it's going to come down to how things fall. We're going to continue to look at all options with respect to that pick. And again, I talked about it last night, whether that's a draft and stash. We may look at a move up or move back option. And of course, there's always a move out completely option. So right. We'll look at everything and we'll make a decision that's going to best meet the needs of the team.
Mark, you mentioned Josh Giddey and that 47-foot shot against the Lakers. And he did much more than that in the second half of the season. He really came around and you saw what his value is. Now you get to determine what his value is. What is the next step with Josh Giddey in terms of his status contractually?
So when the right time comes up, we'll reach out to his representatives and, you know, we'll start to talk about what the future looks like with Josh. And like you said, his second half of the season was terrific. It's a small peek into a window of, you know, why we traded for him. After the deadline, you know, there was more opportunity and he did a great job seizing the moment. And, you know, he's been terrific for us, especially the second half of the season. We hope he's with us long term. And when the opportunity presents itself, we'll reach out to his representation and begin those discussions.
It's kind of a fun time, I suppose, whenever you talk about draft, whenever you talk about player development. I know you told KC yesterday, at least I saw it, he was the one who tweeted it, that you're going to have Matas practice with the Summer League team. I don't know if that means he'll play in the Summer League, but he'll be there and be able to practice with guys, which is, I think, a really solid idea. And you just told us that Noah will be there as well. It's kind of fun when you get to a point where you start picturing a couple of guys playing together. And I think we have a pretty good feel for the guys that are on your team, and you've mentioned them. That's going to be fun just seeing what Billy can do and how that all works out with style of play, et cetera. I'm sure that came into play when you made this decision.
It is going to be fun. And, you know, Modest will go to Summer League training camp is what we call. It'll be right here at the Advocate Center. And then we'll determine how many games he plays in Summer League. I think what the summer provides is an opportunity for players to get better. Most of those opportunities are in drills. What Summer League provides is an opportunity for our players to play in a controlled environment, which is appealing to us. You know, Modest's last game was our last game of the season when he played 5-on-5. And to be able to go to Vegas and play 5-on-5, again, in a controlled environment with real referees, you know, we hope it's an opportunity that he takes. And, you know, we'll sit down and discuss with him what that could look like. And again, it's going to be fun because, you know, to see those two guys out there on the court come July, it'll give us a small little peek into a window of what the future may look like.
Quickly, before I let you go, you mentioned having a Zoom interview with Essanga in terms of the pre-draft process. When did you first meet him in person? What was your first impression when you did?
So I personally have not met him in person. We'll meet him this weekend. When we do go scout kids, you know, there's so many rules that prohibit us from having interactions with him. But again, the Zoom interview was great. He came across as, you know, bright, articulate, funny, super engaging, and we just got a really great feel from him.
Great stuff. Thanks so much. We really appreciate your time, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, guys, have a great day.
Thank you.
That is Mark Eversley, the general manager of the Chicago Bulls.
Well, that will do it for today's Saturday Suckage. You guys hang around here. The Cubs pregame starts at 5:40. First pitch at 6:15 in Houston as the Cubs take on the Houston Astros. The only local call here on The Score. Stick around for more as BetMGM Cond will take you there to the Cubs.
And then you'll have to eat your lunch all by yourself. It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.